Hi everyone, you're listening to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 162 for February 20th, 2011. In this week's podcast, our guest speaker, Pastor Bill Fott, will be sharing his message titled Living by Revelation. Enjoy.
Praise the Lord. Ang Diyos ay mabuti. Amen? I've also heard that in Pampangan, it's in Diyos mayapya. Amen. So, there you go, Tagalog and Pampangan. We give you greetings. And I'm excited about Jesus. This is the greatest day of the church. You know, there's some people that say, man, I wish I were alive in the days of the apostles. You know, other people say, I wish that I were alive in the day of you know, John the Baptist or some great patriarch of the scripture. And but I say, no, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. God's man at God's time in God's place. And I believe that to quote the scripture, that we were born for such a time as this. God's very intentional. We hear that word several times already today. But God is very intentional to place you at this time in the history of the world. And but anyways, we're very excited to be with you. We love our Filipino brothers and sisters. The Philippines is very dear to our hearts. It's already been mentioned a couple of times. People call us missionaries, but I've never seen myself as a missionary. I'm a man on a mission. So if that makes me a missionary, so be it. But most people just call me Brother Bill, and that works very fine. And we're also very, very blessed to tell you to announce for the first time that the book we have back here, Beyond the Gates of Praise, is currently being translated into Korean and will be released in Korea later on this year. So, praise the Lord. Kamsahamnida. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyways, it's a very exciting day. I tell you, we are on an adventure in God. And I love the passage of scripture that tells us that we are, King James uses the word sojourners. We are pioneers blazing the trail in the West. You know, we're the people of God. We're aliens. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look like an alien. Yeah. That's why King James used the word alien. We're not people of this world. You're from outer space. No. Hallelujah. You're citizens of another kingdom, another world, and let us not forget that. Praise the Lord. We are very blessed to be here. We thank you, Pastor Archie. Been wonderful to be with you. The scripture was read this morning. I want to return to that. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, and I want to use that as a springboard. How many goes swimming during the summer? And there's a diving board there. So we're going to use this scripture as a diving board into the larger pool of what the Lord's going to say to us today. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter unto the perfect day. I'm going to say it again. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. But the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. You know, you and I have two choices in life. We can walk the way of light or the way of darkness. There are two kingdoms in this world. There's the kingdom of light and there's the kingdom of darkness. If you're a believer, the Bible says that we have been translated, transformed, brought out of the kingdom of darkness and brought where? Into the kingdom of what? Light. Into the kingdom of light. So those are the only two clear choices we get. We can walk in darkness or we can walk in light. There's really no middle ground. I believe that in this subject, it's impossible to have one foot in darkness and one foot in light. Because there's only two kingdoms. There's no middle kingdom. There's no gray kingdom. There's a kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light. Now turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. I want to hear those pages turning. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. If you have a red letter edition Bible, you'll notice that most of that verse 4 is in red. Jesus saying, "But he," Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You like that? Okay, we know that. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. This is the springboard. Okay, this is the diving board. These scriptures. And then we're going to jump. Everybody bring your bathing suits today. Okay. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start with verse 15. Now I want you to know that Paul's a very affectionate man. You'll notice that when Paul writes to the churches, he's always using adverbs and adjectives that describes his commitment and his love to the churches. Listen to what he says. "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith," remember that word, faith, "in the Lord Jesus and your love," remember the word love, "for all the saints. I do not cease to give thanks for you." Pastor Noni mentioned earlier of Paul's love and commitment to the churches, how he thought very affectionately of them. He says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Who's him? Jesus, the Christ. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that you may know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and that you may also know," verse 19, "what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." And he goes on to say in verse 20, "which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead," and on wonderful stuff. Now, what I want to speak to you about this morning is the subject I'm going to call living by revelation. Living by revelation. Have you ever noticed in all the Sunday school lessons that you've ever sat through, all of the message that you've heard from this pulpit and other places, different speakers on television, different discussions around the scriptures at the dining table, cell groups, other things, of that when you look at the patriarchs of the Bible, that they noticed that everyone was on a journey of discovering God. And we are the same. Life on earth is not about us. Now, many of us, we live our lives as if that God put here to bathe me with blessings. And that seems to be the message of the hours. Is and you can go through the channel changer, you know, the the remote, and you can hear all the wonderful messages on the television, or you can scan the internet and you can find a lot of audio and video messages about God wants you to be blessed. And so much is just focused upon me, 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 receive, receive. Oh God, me, 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 I need to be blessed. And what we fail to realize is that many times we have the cart in front of the carabao. Have you heard that expression? In the West, we have the cart in front of the horse, but I thought you would appreciate using the word carabao. Many times we have things in reverse order. When Moses wrote and to Israel, and that has come down to us, this concept that if we don't seek after blessing, please hear what I'm saying. We don't seek after blessing. We don't chase blessing down. We don't capture blessing. Yes. Blessing captures us.
Yes.
Think about it. Moses wrote the words. He says, and these blessings shall come upon you. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And these blessings shall leap upon you. That these blessings will chase after you. We don't chase blessing. Blessing chases us. Which brings us to the principle that Jesus tried to get his disciples and for us to understand is that we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added.
Amen.
To us. They are to be added to us. We don't pursue them, they pursue us. What do we pursue? We pursue Christ and his kingdom. We live by revelation, like the patriarchs of the scripture. They illustrated to us. Their life was a canvas of explanation, painted and illustrated for us to understand that it was all about discovering God. Even the children of Israel, in the one of the most horrible of places that could be on the earth, they're in the wilderness. King James used where they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And even though we know that between Egypt and the promised land, it was approximately 40 days. They spent 40 years. And we can really focus on why it took 40 years. But I want us to understand one thing. Every place they went, every place when they would follow the cloud, Psalms chapter 68, it starts off with verse 1, let God arise. Many Bible theologians believe that that was the cry that rose in the camp of Israel when the cloud would begin to rise and begin to move, that they would shout from one camp, from one tribe to the other, God has begun to arise. And they would all begin to pack up their things and they would follow the cloud. But every place that the cloud stopped, they discovered something about God.
Hallelujah.
Every place the cloud stopped, they discovered something about God. One of the first places, they stopped and they began to drink the water. Says, ooh, it's bitter. It's bitter. Don't drink the water. It's bitter. But the Lord showed them and declared his name unto them that I am Jehovah Rapha. He healed the waters. But they had to go to that place to discover the name of God. They had to go to that place. Think about Abraham. Oh, what a trial to be asked by God to kill your own son, to sacrifice your own son, that one son that you've been longing for, you prayed for, you've waited for decades. You've waited for that son, and the Lord said, now sacrifice him. And even as he's going up to the mountain with that son, Isaac, who at this point was in his early to mid-20s. And he gets to that place, or they just get to that place, and Isaac's sort of scratching his head, and he says, Dad, Father Abraham, where's the sacrifice? And I love Abraham's response. He says, the Lord will provide for himself a sacrifice. Even though he knew in the back of his mind, Abraham knew that God said Isaac would be the sacrifice. But it's interesting, this reply from the heart of this man who really did not want to slay his own son. But he said, the Lord will provide. Now listen, I'm telling you, it's about living by revelation. Because I want to tell you that as Abraham and Isaac's going up one side, there's a ram that's coming up the other side. Think about it. As Abraham and Isaac are coming up one side of the mountain, there's a ram coming up the other side. You see, the word provide, it's a very interesting word. Anytime you see a word, P-R-O, that prefix means before. And vide comes from the word like video, which means the Lord already saw this situation happening. And he sent the ram even before they started up the side of the mountain. God saw beforehand. You see, even in the subject of provision and these challenging economic times, I'm going to tell you, the answer is not to fret and to worry, as Pastor Noni said earlier. The thing is that we answer, that we understand that because we are on a discovery to discover God, that He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides, we must understand that God already saw this day coming.
Hallelujah.
That if indeed he is sovereign, if indeed he is very much in control, he already saw this day coming, and he's already provided a way. We don't chase blessing, but there's blessing chasing us. There's provision that's chasing us. I'm about to get excited. Living by revelation. We vote no on going through things. But I'm going to tell you, it's there that we discover God. I love what Andre Crouch saw, wrote many years ago. He said, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. He said, if I never had a problem, I would never know that God could solve them. I would never know what faith in God would do. But through it all, God led the children of Israel into different points of discovery. God led Abraham to different points of discovery. He discovered Jehovah Jireh on the mountain. The children of Israel discovered Jehovah Rapha when the Lord healed the waters. But I love the story of Moses. He's on the mountain with God. He's in the glory cloud. And what does God do? The Lord said, I can't let you see me. Moses cries, show me your glory. I can't show my face. You'll die if you see the glory that's on this face. He says, but the Bible says that the Lord passed before him and he announced his names to Moses. What was the Lord doing? He was showing the life of revelation. That the only way we truly live is by revelation. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we go from glory to glory. Go from glory, from discovery to discovery, from encounter to encounter, from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from victory to victory. When we encounter God in those ways, we discover something we did not know about Him. But I also want to tell you that something I've discovered recently, not only do I discover something about God I didn't know, I discover something about myself I didn't know. And I think that's the other side of the coin. Is when we discover something about ourselves, Sometimes the lack of faith we discover. Sometimes mistrust we discover. Sometimes we discover that delay was present because faith was absent. We can discover all kinds of things, but life is about discovery. Last July, and this is the first time I've been here at the church since I think we were there before then, right before we went to China. We were here with you, and you. When I went to China last July, it was probably the most challenging trip I've ever taken. And I mean, we've been to the Philippines like 14, 15 times. We've been to Latin America many times, Mexico, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, many different places in Latin America, all over Mexico. And going to China was the most difficult, but yet one of the most interesting points of discovery. Now see, if you're careful, if you don't lose heart when you go through something, you will discover something very, very tangible, something very real, and something very healthy, something that will open the door to the next thing. I go to China. First of all, I was traveling with a group that I'd never been with before. That was a challenge, and all of them were familiar with the culture. I was not. The food was absolutely horrible. I'm just going to tell you from my experience. I've eaten hog, dog, frog, monkey meat, rice field rat, all kinds of wonderful things in the Philippines. You know, I mean, I've eaten dog before in the Philippines. It's really quite good. So I really prided myself, you know, and it's just like, you know?
Balut.
Even balut. Yes, we've had balut. We are officially Filipinos. But when I went to China, it was a challenge to eat the food. It's not like American Chinese food. Not at all. Very bland, very doughy and okay, something else. Let's move on. So I was dealing with that, but dealing with the culture. You know, when we go to Mexico, they're always late for everything. You know, it's just a cultural thing. It's like taking a broom to the ocean. You're not going to change it. You know, and so you just go with the flow. You know, when you go to Mexico or someplace in Latin America, you know, 99 times out of 100, you will start at least a half an hour late. But I go to China, I didn't realize that was kind of a situation that was going on there. So that was, you know, number two challenge. So I had to adjust to that. I had to adjust to the driver showing up 2 hours late, and I missed my session in the conference. And I was thinking, of all the people who gave to help get me to China, finally I pulled a brother aside and said, listen, I have a problem. And I discussed my problem with them. I wasn't angry or anything, but I said, listen, people gave us money to come here, not to sit in a hotel room. So I suggest that whatever you got to do to get the driver here on time would be really good. Yeah. So that was a challenge. But I'll tell you one of the greatest challenges, and you're probably already, you know, wiping your brow right now saying, Brother Bill, it sounds like a pretty rough trip. But you know, the greatest challenge was the very first session. They threw me, it was like throwing me into the lion's den. The very first session, it was sort of a question-answer. So I was on this panel, three-person panel. And the very first question someone asked, Brother Bill, what qualifies you to sit on that stage?
I went, ooh.
I did not realize that culturally, and then this is dealing with the above ground church, not the underground church, okay? This is the registered churches. And it was like going back, it was like attending church in the 1950s, 1960s. You know, very stoic, very, very unemotional, very unattached. It's like their hearts were over here somewhere, you know, and you know, there was a challenge at every turn, but all of a sudden I felt like this much of what Jesus must have felt like when he was asked those questions by the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were meant to trap him or to, you know, cause him to some way disqualify himself. And I just submitted to the Lord, and I said, you know, Lord, I don't have a clue what I should tell these people. I don't know what they want to hear. But I just asked for wisdom. And this was the prayer of the Apostle Paul, the apostolic prayer of Ephesians chapter 1. He says, I pray that your eyes would be enlightened, that you would know the hope of your calling that in Christ, and that you would be granted the word of wisdom and knowledge and revelation of Jesus Christ, you know? And I just submitted. And, you know, that's what we got to do first. We have to just submit to God. Many times we'll say, I resist you, devil, when we go through things. But that's not the first thing we do. The first thing we do is we submit to God. Right? Submit to God, then resist the devil. Then what happened? He flees. So I just submitted to the Lord. I said, Lord, I just ask for your wisdom. And I told him, I said, you know, I wish the Lord would have given me the option of going to Bible college. But that's not the option he gave me. I said, I'm a man. I said, every day of my life is about discovery. Every day of my life, I discover something about God and something about myself. And I said, and that is the track, that is the road the Lord put me on. I said, this is not a judgmental statement, I said, but I know plenty of people who went to their 4 years of college and they thought that that somehow qualified them to stand behind a pulpit just because they received a degree. And I said, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I said, God is the one who decides that. And I said, but I can also tell you that a fair amount of people I know who have received 4 years of college, they stopped learning. The moment they graduated, they stopped discovering God. And I said, I'm very sad about that. And I said, you know, again, the Lord didn't give me that option. Linda and I married right away. We started having children. And that's just not the way things went. And I said, I trust the Lord that he was the Lord of that, the entire situation. I said, but given the choice, given the option, I said, I'm glad that I took the route that I did. I said, now I ask you the question. And this is the wisdom of the Lord. When you can return the question, you know. I said, if you knew that there were only two options, you would live by revelation every day of your life, but never have the opportunity to go to Bible college, or go to Bible college and then somehow stop growing in the Lord, which would you choose? They said, well, we would choose number one. And I said, I rest my case. That's the route the Lord put me on. I didn't realize until later, to qualify to be a pastor with their group, you have to go to 2 years local Bible college, 4 years seminary in Beijing, come back and serve in the church anywhere from 6 to 10 years. And then they might consider you as a candidate to be a pastor. Now, oh, and by the way, if you become a pastor, we will bless you with $150 a month. And all the while they're saying, we need help, we need help. And I'm going, I understand why you need help. You know, it's wonderful that they raised the bar so high. And it is good in that respect. You do have a tendency to kind of weed out all the wannabe pastors, you know. But man, that's quite an interesting problem that they do have. And so I, again, by God's wisdom, I just shared with them. I said, listen, if someone said today that they feel called to be a pastor and they get put into your program, it is a dozen or more years away before you get any help. I said, why not develop another level of leadership? Some lay pastors, some maybe interns or just to take some pressure off. Because listen, this they have 14 senior pastors taking care of 50,000 people. And they're dying. I mean, not in a literal sense, but I mean they're so weighted down with all this responsibility, they're not able to handle it. But I tell you, God puts you in those uncomfortable places. It was like the cloud of God went over China and said, Bill, we're going to stop right here for a while. And it was there that I discovered something about God I didn't know. And I discovered something about myself that I didn't know. Again, we vote no on getting put in those uncomfortable places. I was sweating bullets, man, when I was sitting up there. It's like being before a firing squad, you know, and they were saying, what qualifies you to be up there? You know, I'm going, you know. But I'm going to tell you, living by revelation is the most exciting life there is. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord never gave us an option to live otherwise. Now, I'm going to tell you, one of the weaknesses of the Western church is that we think we can pick and choose the life that we want to live as a believer. Okay? But I'm going to tell you, the Lord never gave us an option. Jesus said, and we read it earlier, Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? But by every word that proceeds from his mouth, by revelation. Every word that you have here in black and white and red in this Bible was first spoken. First came from God's mouth, then it was written. So we live by the written word and we live by the spoken word, because God is still revealing himself. We don't go 4 years to school and stop learning. Life is about discovering God. You know what, parents? Sometimes we discover something about God by having children. There's no way that you can understand how the Abba heart of God feels until you have a baby of your own. You're looking at me funny. What you talking about, Bill? I'm just saying there's something that leaps in your heart when you hold that baby for the first time and you get just a glimpse of what Abba, Father God, must feel like. The capacity of his heart is so great. All of us are his favorites. We are all, everyone in here is God's favorite child. He has such a great big Abba heart. So we discover something about God when we have children. Even when they rebel, we discover something about God. How He must feel when I rebel. Oh, maybe you don't think in those terms, but hey, let's wake up and smell the coffee. Okay? Or the tulips, whichever you prefer here. But that's what life is all about. It's about discovering. And you say, well, Brother Bill, boy, we've went through some really difficult things. Welcome to the club, man. I'm telling you. Life can be difficult. But listen, I love what David sang in one of his psalms. He says, blessed is the man who, when walking through the valley of Baca, he digs a well. Well, what's so interesting about the valley of Baca? The word Baca means the place of tears. Blessed is the man who's winning. Because at one point or more in your life, you're going to walk through the valley of Baca. You're going to. The brother was weeping this morning talking about, the brother has known the valley of Baca.
That's right.
Blessed is the man, though, that when he walks through the valley of Baca, that he digs a well. He finds a source of nutrition and nourishment, some sustainability in God. That discovers something about God that you carry with you the rest of your life. I mean, it becomes literally part of your DNA as a believer. I think the last time we were here, we told you a testimony about what we went through with our son. Well, listen, I vote no on those difficult situations. But, you know, it happened. It was a valley of Baca. But I'm going to tell you, since that time, anyone that comes to me and says, boy, I just know this is a situation that God cannot fix, I'm going, what Bible have you been reading out of? My God is sovereign.
He is. Yes. Amen. Yes.
My God is in charge. Yes. I want to tell you, one of the things that's facing this generation right now, all you young people, listen, because this is for you too. Life is about discovery. We find written throughout the Old Testament, many times when the patriarchs referred to God, they would say the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And I believe that that was done for several reasons. Not only to establish lineage, because that was important. Pedigree was important among the Israel's people. But I believe most importantly that the Lord did that, or somehow that happened, because He wanted to illustrate that He can't just be the God of Pastor Archie. That he just can't be the God of the senior citizen group, the Lolos and the Lolas. Huh? He just can't be the God of Abraham. He has to be the God of Isaac, the sons and daughters of Pastor Archie and Sister Loli. And he has to be the God of the grandchildren and the great grandchildren. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to God, there is really no such thing as great grandchildren or grandchildren. There are only sons and daughters. And we don't get to heaven by riding the coat of the person that really has a relationship. I want to tell you, it's all about all of us discovering the all of God all the time. It will never be good enough to say, well, my mama knew God, my grandpa was a pastor, or my whatever. That will never hold water when we stand before the Lord. I love the story of Jonah. Talk about discovery. Jonah discovered something about himself, and he discovered something about God. I'm going to tell you what's very interesting. You know, you grow up in church and you kind of get this church culture. And you know the things to say by default to get people off your back. You know, you learn certain strategic, you know, sentences, little religious jargon, you know, that lets everybody know that you're okay when you're really not okay. Amen, Josh? You've been there? You've been there, ain't you? He's not there now, praise the Lord. I love Jonah. It's a very comical story, actually. If you have a very vivid thought life, imagination, it's a very comical story. But here's Jonah. And again, it's all about discovery. Here's Jonah. God has spoken to the man of God, the preacher. It'd be like God saying to Pastor Archie, Pastor Archie, Pastor Archie, I want you to go to Nineveh. And you say, no, thank you. I vote no on Nineveh. Nineveh is like 200 miles north of what we call Babylon, or which is the center of Iraq now. And he says no. Now, it's very interesting, going to one of the Psalms of David, Psalm 51, I don't remember now exactly, but he says, a fool had said in his heart, there is no God. You've read that scripture. You notice the word there is in italics in the King James Version, which means it was added by the translators. And either one will work in preaching it, but in the literal sense, the fool has said in his heart, no God. It's a very foolish thing to say to God, who is sovereign, who could squash us like an ant if he wanted to. Obviously, he's not going to do that. He loves us. But he's sovereign God. And anyways, here's Jonah. He says, no, God. And he goes to another place called Joppa. And that's where he gets on the boat. And Joppa means it's a place of beauty. Sometimes we choose beauty over obeying God. He gets on the boat and he's headed towards a place called Tarshish, which means a place of riches. Sometimes we choose riches over saying yes to God. So here he is on his boat, and you know the story. You've read it. You've heard it so many times. The storm comes up. But they finally discover that God must be mad at Jonah. And again, this is about discovery, so follow me. Where's Jonah? He's in the bottom of the boat sleeping. The guy, he's in a stupor. I mean, he is so checked out. I mean, he has so separated himself from the activity of the rest of the world. He's gone to sleep. And they wake him, and Josh, and they say, what have you done to make God so mad? Who are you? Jonah replies. Now listen to this. This is the day that Jonah first discovers something about himself. Jonah says, I'm a Hebrew, and I'm a worshiper of Jehovah. Now, what's really interesting about that, one of the highest levels of worship to God is obedience. But where was he? Where was he? In a place of disobedience to God, yet claiming, I'm a Hebrew and I'm a worshiper. Push those little default buttons, those little sayings, little religious sayings, that when you know you're in trouble, you reach for those things, you say, I'm a worshiper. I'm a worshiper. I'm a worshiper. Just pushing the button, see? Doesn't mean you really are. Because again, one of the highest forms of worship is obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, and we know that worship is about loving God. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen. So here's, and again, now listen. All this is about discovery. He discovers something about himself. He's really not the worshiper he thought he was. But listen. Now he's in the belly of the great fish. And it's there that he kind of comes to his senses and, I'm ready to obey God now. I've been through enough. You know, I vote no to any more torture. You know, Lord, the gases in the belly of this fish are beginning to really mess me up. I'm bleached white. That's what happened to the rest of us, see. We spent too much time in the belly of the fish. I got bleached white. I'm bleached white. Lord, I don't want to catch a disease. And the Bible even describes that he has seaweed on him. That sounds like a pleasurable trip. And he acknowledges something about himself and about God when he's in the belly of the fish. Just listen to what he says. He said, Lord, I realize for the first time that when I am not in your will, I forfeit your grace. It's about discovery. Lord, when I'm not in your will, I forfeit grace. I forfeit the favor that comes from being obedient to what you ask of me. And listen, one of the greatest problems, and I close with these comments because it is all, you know, I could preach all day about living by revelation because it's a very vast subject. But I just want to leave you with this. One of the greater weaknesses of the Western church is, again, that we think we have an option, that we don't have to live by revelation, that we can obey God when we want to, when we don't want to, and that God is a God of love, and there are no ramifications, there's no difficulties that happen to me. Life is life. Que sera, sera. That's Spanish for whatever happens, happens. We fail to realize many times that God is a God of destiny. That God is a God of destiny. He has a plan. He has a plan for every single person in here. Amen. He has a plan that you don't realize it right now. You know, when I was 12 years old and someone spoke prophetically over me for the first time that I would be involved in ministry. Even before that, God had already begun to deal with me, and I would spend hours in the closet praying and reading my Bible when my mom and dad, I was being disobedient, you know, but they said, turn out the light, and I was still under a little light trying to read and pray. And God was just awakening something on the inside of me. I didn't realize in those days, but I'll tell you now that this July I'll be 52, and I'm if we could only know what we know at 52 when we're 15. But please hear me this morning, that God is a God of destiny, and He's about revealing Himself to you, because someday He will bring you before kings with a message. Someday He will bring you into a place of prominence, in a place of business, in a place of meeting this person or that person at a strategic time, because He has a plan, He has a purpose. This June, listen to me, this June, Linda and I are going to Kenya and then to a very small country called Burundi. And for the first time, this late June, early July, Linda and I will be standing before the king and the queen of the nation of Burundi. We have an appointment with them to pray with them. Their nation is on the top 10 list of the poorest nations of the earth. Listen, when you're 15, you have no concept. You have no idea the potential of what God would do in your life if you just say yes to Jesus. But it starts at 15 and you discover God, your life, so that when you run with a message. You don't just run and show up and say, I have nothing to say. But something's developed, something's deposited on the inside of you, service after service. Listen, every time Pastor Archie's up here preaching or someone else in here, pull all the life that you can out of them. Pull all of God out of them. Place a demand upon God's authority and God's anointing, because there's something being developed in you that may bring you before kings. You say, Brother Bill, not everybody in here is called to be a fivefold minister. I understand that. It's not about that. Drop all of that. It's about being God's man or God's woman at God's place at God's time. You never know. I can take you to pastors who before had no relationship with these people, but now they're rubbing elbows with presidents and very large corporations that are donating 10 acres because they love what God's doing. Listen, you don't know. You just have to be obedient. You just have to be. But I'm going to tell you that one of the things that helps us to understand how important obedience is that this is about a life of revelation. That we discover what we need to discover. You say, well, what can I discover at 14 or 15? What can I discover at the age of 10? Or what can I discover? Maybe I'm 60 and I'm beyond the days of discovery. That's not true. Maybe you've never lived that type of a lifestyle of living by revelation. But I'll tell you, the time to start is now. And that all of us are being equipped. All of us were born at this time in the history of the world for His purpose. Yes. Amen. I love what Jeremiah says. The thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. The destiny, the dream of God, the vision of God that He has for you. The things that he fantasizes, that he imagines in his own heart and mind about you, it's more incredible than you can fathom, that you can even handle. If God showed you at 15 what you'd be doing at 52, you would do everything you could to sabotage it. That's what flesh does. Flesh has mastered the art of trying to sabotage what God wants to do. But by His own wisdom, He doesn't tell us at age 15 what we would be doing at age 52. He just says, be obedient today. Amen. And He will build upon every obedience. So that like the patriarchs of the Scripture, we discover who He is. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Faith Family Worship Center. God, I thank You for Pastor Archie and Sister Lolita. Lord, I thank You for their faithfulness. God, I sense in my spirit at this very moment that there is an incredible amount of destiny that's seated before me. God, one of the saddest things is to drive by a cemetery and to think about all of the destinies that were unfulfilled. God, I would just want to thank You for every person that's in this room today. God, I thank You for their faithfulness. God, I thank You for every obedience. But God, I know You have come today with a challenge, Lord. There's some in here today, God, that have really just kind of unhinged their hearts and set their hearts aside and just kind of do it with their head. God, there's some among us today, God, that have not realized the concept of destiny. God, have not really bought into this whole notion that I was born for a purpose. God, have not really totally understood the impact of the gospel that's being forged in their life, even through trials and testing. And Holy Spirit, I ask You right now to penetrate the hardness of any of our hearts here today, God. that have just kind of checked out, and God has just kind of looked in front of us, God, and just said, well, this is just life, and I'll just do what I got to do to get along. But God, I thank you, you have a greater picture, God. You have a greater picture. And you are right now, you are awakening that thing in us once again, God. Some of us, Lord, have forgotten how to dream. God, some of us have forgotten how to dream with you. And I say by the Spirit of God, in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, you're massaging our hearts right now. Any hearts of stone to be made hearts of flesh. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for putting us back together. Putting our hearts back in our chest. Helping us to see. We sang about it, how great is our God. Helping us to see the great plan that our great God has for each of our lives.
And that was Pastor Bill Fott on his message titled Living by Revelation. If you would like to join us for a Sunday service, our address is 6535 Westbury Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-FFWC. That's 3392. You can check us out online at ffwcchicago.com, and you can reach us by email at contactus@ffwcchicago.com. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.